Hopefully this is the last time you'll hear this ad. Because with Chime checking account features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, and getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, you can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade to spend more time listening to your favorite podcasts, or at least grab yourself an extra morning latte this month. Join millions of Chime members who work on their financial progress with fee-free overdraft and no monthly fees. When you find new ways to save, you can reach your financial goals easier and still have the occasional treat. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 206. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary with Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how's it going, buddy?
I'm doing all right, buddy. Got a window and a door installed.
Love it.
We have windows and doors.
Let's go. Big things happening over there.
Yeah, I took time away to sit in front of my computer for a bit that we'll get to, and it was completely fruitless, but either way, that's what's new with me. What's new with you?
Yeah, I think I have carpal tunnel, Mitch, because I was refreshing Twitter so much today, and it was all for nothing.
Yeah, it's just a whole lot of nothing going on today. But doesn't mean that we have nothing to talk about, of course.
No, of course. And before we get started, Mitch, we should talk about something very important here, too.
Yeah, speaking about carpal tunnel for doing repetitive actions too frequently in an uncomfortable situation, that is not what will happen if you use Manscaped. So the Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in this summer. You know what that? What? Sorry. You know what isn't? I'm reading here. A wild and hairy bush.
Oh.
Tame your pubes. Honestly, I'm reading this. With help from our friends at Manscaped. They are our friends. That is a truthful statement.
This is a fact.
Well, it's all truthful, really. The leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand-new Lawnmower 4.0. There's asterisks there, so I'm adding emphasis for dramatic effect. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas and ladies, do right by your balls and bush, I guess, and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com with the code FANSIDED20 to get 20% off your order and free shipping.
There you go.
So that's manscaped.com and use the promo code FANSIDED20. 20% off and free shipping. Do it.
It's absolutely worth your while. I had the 3.0, love it. Have the 4.0 now. It's an absolute blast. You're going to love it, right, Mitch?
Honestly, like it's such a well-weighted little machine to use to,
take
feel
care of business.
Good about your downstairs area, yeah. Right? Like everyone leaves that alone, really. Leaves it alone for way too long. And then when you finally get to take care of it, feels good.
Absolutely. Speaking of waiting around for a really long time, that was me today, as we hinted at the start, because it was free agency frenzy day and I was super excited for the frenzy and anxiously refreshing Twitter, and guys were flying around and it was a whole lot of, not a lot for the Islanders, Mitch.
It was very much the Squidward SpongeBob Patrick meme, right? Where Squidward is looking at the two of them like, ah, having a good time, and we're the Squidward, we being Islanders fans, going, nothing is happening. We're told that Kyle Palmieri and Zach Parise are signed, but we haven't seen said signings yet. So what's going on here?
Yeah, I don't know. We have, there's a couple of things that have been said. It's not confirmed, so we'll get into those. Kind of obvious if you've been following along here, these things. So we'll talk about that. Then we'll get into just some things that maybe surprised us from around the league today. And then, of course, Mitch on the, in the back half of the show is going to go in depth on the our newest Islanders prospects and his conversations with them. So, Mitch, let's you want to start Palmieri or you want to go Parise first?
Let's go Palmieri first.
Okay, so we're familiar with Kyle Palmieri. The Islanders traded for him at this past deadline. Once Jordan Eberle left, Kyle Palmieri, I mean, you had to think that he was going to be on the list of guys that Lou Lamoriello would have. And, like, it makes sense. One, he had a very productive playoff for the Islanders. Two, he's a Long Island kid. Like, that stuff matters. And number three, like, they need a right-handed shot guy. So it just everything is adding up. And it looks like they got a deal done. We just have no idea what it is because Lou Lamoriello is the general manager. You might not know for another month.
Right. And again, but also adding to like the why he would stay is he's a Lou player.
True.
He's played for Lou. He was brought in by Lou. Lou likes this guy. Lou knows him. So it wouldn't surprise me that they signed him to a decent amount, like a decent deal. I've heard long term, and by I've heard, I don't have like, you know, birds up at that Islander headquarters here scoping out information, but for what we've been able to gather online, it seems like it's a long-term deal, which makes sense. Like Kyle Palmieri is not young, or is not old either. Sorry, he's 30, right? He turns 31 in February, so to give him like a six-year deal kind of makes sense.
Is that what you think it's going to be, 6 years?
I think so. It's not going to be eight, we know that much. So if I'm going long term, it's going to be between four and six. And I'm just erring on the side of caution to go with six with the reasoning to bring down the AAV.
Okay. If that's the case, then I could live with it. I would prefer not to have Kyle Palmieri signed to 36. If it's a 4 or 5 year deal, I could live with five. Six is pushing it a little bit. We'll see. But moral of the story is he's going to come in cheaper than Eberle, I would have to imagine, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not guaranteeing that, obviously, because I have no idea.
We have no idea.
Why do you think he will?
Why do I think he'll come in cheaper?
Yeah.
Just overall production-wise really hasn't been to the point of Eberle over the course of his career.
Yeah. Well, that's true, right? Like 45 points in 65 games 2 years ago, 17 points, I guess really 21 points over...
51.
I can't do math quickly there, but I think that's 51 games.
Yeah, so it would be 34 points. But he went ice cold with the Islanders, as we know.
Exactly. 4 points in 17 games is not good. But this is a 20-goal score, 25-goal score, really, and any other year. Even then, he had 25 2 years ago in 65 games, mind you. That's a 30-point player, a 30-goal player.
Right. This is someone who you could pencil in for 25 goals. I don't know if he's going to be the production of like where Eberle's at, where you could pretty much guess 50 to 55. He might be in like the 45 point range, maybe, you know, some years push closer to 50. But something that he has, one of the things that he has that Eberle doesn't, power play goals come in bunches with him, Mitch. Not this past year, only two. But how about the 5 years before that? 11, 11, 11, down year with 8, and then back to 11.
We'll take 8, right? Like even 8 is a huge win for the Islanders. But you're right. The scoring on the power play is a huge win for us because, well, we need it. We need it bad. But we keep alluding to Palmieri is going to fit into the Jordan Eberle role. And we're already talking to ourselves like he's not as productive as Jordan Eberle on his best. Both of them, that is. So, like, Is that a one-for-one swap? And even if it is, it's certainly not a better, right? Like, we're not getting better where that is.
That, I would say it's an even swap because of some of the other things that he does. Like, I think he plays a more physical game, and I think he is better on the power play. So while the production might not necessarily be where Eberle is, I'm pretty close to even swap. He might be like, how am I trying to say this? Starting a franchise over, you don't have any kind of identity. Eberle's the better player, but I think for what the Islanders are trying to do, Palmieri might be a better fit. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah, I know what you're saying. Absolutely right. Like, if you're looking for the better player, it's probably Jordan Eberle. But they can use Palmieri as a more complementary piece to what the pieces they've already got. Right. Like, in a vacuum, Jordan Eberle better than Kyle Palmieri. But considering everything else, because we don't live in a vacuum and the Islanders aren't a vacuum, there are other factors around it. Yeah, maybe he's a better fit.
Right. And especially if he's going to be with Matt Barzal, when you kind of want that more of a goal scoring. Like, I think he's a better pure goal scorer than Eberle is.
Yeah, that I think that's not even debatable. If anyone wants to debate that, I can't see that. He's got 30 goals at least since 2015-16 every year. And you can say, like, well, he didn't do that when he was in Anaheim. He didn't have the minutes he had with the New Jersey Devils that he had in Anaheim. There's a clear jump in minutes when he played for the Devils versus where he was with Anaheim.
Yeah, by like 3-4 minutes, it looks like.
Right? Like, that's a clear indication that his role jumped significantly when he went from Anaheim to New Jersey. And with that role came the goals, right? Because if before that, you look at his time in Anaheim, he's 10-14-14 in terms of goals. Not once is that over a full 82 games, mind you. So, and then when he gets to New Jersey, 30, 26, 24, 27, 25. There's a clear thing here where you're going, like, one of these things is not like the other. And then you see the ice time go up and you go, ah, well, there you go.
No, absolutely. And just get him getting power play opportunities, I think, is really, you know, huge for him. Something else that I like is you could play him up on the top line. You could play him on the second line. And we've saw the Islanders play him on the third line in the playoffs. And, you know, he played well in really all of those roles where, you know, we talked about it when we lost Jordan Eberle. But it's more of you put him on the top line and he's not really someone you put on the third line because he's not really a two-way player like that.
I guess the way to put that is Jordan Eberle is a more dependent player, right? Like, he won't carry the line, but when someone is carrying the line, he can shine.
Yes.
And of course, it's not to say that Kyle Palmieri will, he in and of himself, carry a full line, but he can do a lot of lifting on a line on his own.
Right, and I feel like Anders Lee also can do that kind of a stuff. So, but the two of them playing with Barzal, I think, on paper, I think should work. And that was kind of my next question for you. Are you anticipating him up top or on the third line?
I don't know. I don't know what to think. Probably third line, but we started this off by talking about taking Jordan Eberle's spot. Because when you look at the roster, you think, well, how many righties we got? Two, really. Well, I guess three, right? You got Kyle Palmieri, assuming we have him. Again, we're assuming here because there's no contract in yet. There's nothing for sure. But you were assuming Kyle Palmieri. Then you have Oliver Wahlstrom. And then you got Cal Clutterbuck. And I know someone's saying, well, what about Josh Bailey? He's still just a lefty. And, yeah. And by just, I should say, he is a lefty, not a righty. He's playing there out of necessity, not out of that's the better fit.
Yeah, so yeah, when you look at it like that, I just don't know if Barry Trotz is going to put Oliver Wahlstrom on the top line. I'm not saying like that I'm opposed to it. I just can't sit here today and say, based on everything we've seen over the last 3 years, and go, oh yeah, Oliver Wahlstrom's definitely going to play, you know, up top after being a healthy scratch in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Obviously, I would like for him to play top line because that means he's getting more minutes. And with more minutes, like we saw with all Kyle Palmieri here, tends to lead towards more production, assuming the skill level is there, and we're all assuming that with Oliver Wahlstrom. But when it comes to, like you aptly pointed out, Barry Trotz isn't just about to go like, here you go, top line. Although, I guess he did do that with Kiefer Bellows, right?
Briefly.
And then Kiefer Bellows didn't. It was like a sink or swim thing, right? Let's see if he sinks or swim. And he very much sank.
Yeah. Well, there was he scored a couple of goals in a row. Like, he went a couple of games in a row with a goal, right? And then drop off?
Exactly.
Am I remembering that right?
Yeah. The thing with Oliver Wahlstrom is they saw how productive he was with sheltered minutes. I would suspect they start the year off sheltering him. And as that confidence grows, maybe putting him up there. But I, like you, I don't think day one he's top line. Now, of course, it can happen. So don't come back at me like, ha-ha, see, you were wrong. Now I'm just, I'm, and so are you, just trying to not put ourselves out there on a take that we don't firmly believe in.
No, and obviously, like you said, if Oliver Wahlstrom, you know, starts out the year, let's say JGP, and we're not going to talk about the left wing just yet because we're going to get to that in a second, and he's playing well, then by all means, he could absolutely carve out a bigger role for himself, especially if Palmieri goes through a stretch where maybe he's not scoring that much and they switched up. And I don't think Trotz would have an issue doing it then. I don't think it's going to be right out of the gate like that.
I have a hard time believing that. Unless he has this crazy monster training camp and through the preseason, he's just lighting things up and scoring buckets and buckets of goals. I don't think that's going to happen. Not to say that he's not a capable player, but players don't usually pour it on in the preseason like that.
Yeah, it would be a little bit of a rarity. And again, like, this isn't an anti-Oliver Wahlstrom thing. It's just like, that's just not how these things go.
It's managing expectations.
Yeah, which is fair. I think that's completely fair. So
we all have to do that. We probably should have managed our expectations before today rolled around, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get to the potential other player that they're linked to, I think we have to give a little bit of context. And what I mean by that is there were three players who were not extended a qualifying offer.
Yeah.
Two of those three were pretty obvious, I guess, to an extent, in Bobo Carpenter, and it was Timoshov was the other one. I always forget his first name. Dimitro. Yeah, yeah. Dimitro Timoshov. The third one was Michael Dal Colle. So MDC, no longer a member of the New York Islanders.
That's... It feels weird, right? It feels like he's been part of the furniture because he has since 2014. That's a long time, right? That's 7 years in the organization, and the Islanders did not get much out of him.
No, and like, I feel bad. But same with Josh Hosang. I know that that didn't work out for completely other reasons, but I said it at the time, you know, with all due respect to Michael Dal Colle, the Islanders felt that they could get someone to fill that, either whether it's 13th forward or starting on the third line left wing role, and get better value somewhere else. Like, if you're going to pay, what would it take to bring him back? Probably the minimum at $750,000, but you could still get a better player for, you know, that price.
I don't think it would, because he was on $700,000. So his qualifying offer would have been a little bit more than that. And it may have been 150% raise. So don't quote me on that, because I'm not using the calculator right now. But if we look at the waiver calculator, maybe we can still pull it up. No, definitely not. Okay, there. Anatoly Golishev, base salary, $700,000. His multiplier, yeah, so he'd be at $750,000. So you're right. Minimum, it would probably be a league minimum for him.
Yeah, so
for Michael Dal Colle, that is, sorry.
Right, but even like to me, this says like the Islanders thought, okay, we see what Michael Dal Colle gives you, which is flatline. We've talked about it a lot. He's not going to push the needle forward. He's not going to kill you. He's not a liability out there, but it's just very flatline, and they just felt they could improve. And unfortunately, I agree with that.
I can't imagine anyone disagreeing with it. It doesn't mean that you can't be surprised by it. We all thought that they would retain him because you're like, well, he's a good 13th forward, right? He's a very much replacement level player for the Islanders. Maybe he becomes something better somewhere else, and I hope he does. But with the Islanders, he was very much a replacement level player. So, like, why pay him that? If you can pay Zach Parise, let's say $1 million, and maybe they don't even have to do that, he can maybe get you 20 goals. He might even get you 10. Michael Dal Colle has a career, 10 goals? Sorry, 11.
11, yeah.
No, sorry, excuse me, 8. I miscounted. 8.
Right, like, that's the thing. They are going for a higher ceiling player. Granted, he's older, but we could kind of transition and talk about that now. But I just thought it was important to, you know, set the scene for why they were looking for this player. And it was because of, you know, not qualifying Michael Dal Colle. So it looks like Zach Parise is coming to the island. It's his birthday today, too. Happy 37th birthday to Zach Parise. So I would assume it's going to be Andy Green style, 1 year, $750,000 against the cap, but incentives and bonuses – going out in order to get that money up. But this is a, I like this move a lot. Again, it's hard to say because you don't know the money, which that kind of changes things, but I don't anticipate it being super high. But I really think he could be a productive player on the third line for this Islanders team.
100%. I can't see. Look, yeah, he had a bad year last year, right? 7 goals, 11 assists, 18 points over 45 games. But the year before that, 25 goals. The year before that, even 28 goals. And that's 25 goals in 69 games, mind you. So 25 over 69 over a full year is a 30-goal. That's a 30-goal player.
Right. And his bad year this year, 18 points over 45 games. If you pace that out, it's a 33-point season. I would take that on the third line.
Exactly, right? You're taking that on the third line for close to minimum, right? Even if it's $2 million. If you're getting 30 points out of, let's say, Leo Komarov, I don't think anyone's complaining.
No, of course not. Absolutely not. But Parise, one, is just a couple of years removed from, I mean, the 2 years before this, 25 goals and 28 goals. And this year, he was only playing 13 minutes, 57 seconds. You know, the Islanders roll four lines, and they ask their third line to play. I don't know if it's going to be the 17 or 18 minutes he was getting the last 2 years, but 15 and a half, that's probably pretty fair. Right, for what the third line usually gets?
I think so. I really, really want to bring up Palmieri's stat sheet here from Hockey Reference. I was having a hard time today. It just wasn't loading.
Palmieri, I was same here. I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry. I just had it up, so I was switching tabs.
Okay.
With the Islanders, he averaged 14.10. So
that's up like what, a minute and a half from what he was? Not a minute and a half. So Parise was getting how much in Minnesota?
So it was 13 seconds.
So 13 seconds more. That's not a whole lot. But if he's still getting that and you're still getting 18 points, that's fine. You'll take that. For around league minimum to max $2 million, you'll take that.
Right.
For sure.
And maybe
and it's probably not going to be like a 10-year contract. It might be a single-year contract.
Right. And especially considering that the Islanders might feel more comfortable rolling that line because at times I don't think they wanted to roll that line as much when it was, you know, Leo Komarov and JGP on it. But I don't know, man. Thinking about either one of Wallstrom or Palmieri on the right, Pajot down the middle, and Parise on the left side, that's a really nice depth scoring line.
It is. Now, of course, Zach Parise is 36 years old, or just turned 37 today, right?
Yes.
That's a little long in the tooth for hockey. I'm 37, so...
You're washed.
I'm done. Just call it in. I'm going to have to tell my wife, babe, sorry, it's over. I'm done. I'm too old for this stuff. He's still got something, clearly. He had 25 goals 2 years ago, right? Like, it's not done for Zach Parise. It could be. It could very well be. It doesn't seem like it. And this is a calculated risk by a GM who knows the player pretty darn well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's someone who, well, he loved him in New Jersey. He drafted him. And he tried to trade for him a year and a half ago when he tried to get JGP. So bringing him in for, like we said, veteran minimum or close to that, I think is going to be really solid value.
Absolutely. So it seems like the roster's shaping up to have these two guys coming in. There's still the possibility that the Islanders make a trade and swing for a top-tier a winger for the top line. I'm starting to make peace with that not happening, and maybe they swing for a top-tier left-handed defenseman to replace Nick Luddy.
Right. Trade for Vince Dunn, please. That'd be really nice. But just looking at the offense in general, or the forward group in general, now, I know that there at this point hasn't been a big splash. We know Landeskog re-signed in Colorado, and then Vladimir Tarasenko is still out there in St. Louis. But let's just for a second play the game that they're going to bring back Cizikas as well, and your top line is Lee Barzal, Palmieri, Bo, Nelson, Bailey, Parise, Pajot, Wallstrom, and then the fourth line as is. So those are the, that's your 12. How many of those guys do you think could be 20 plus goal scorers?
Ooh,
7, 8.
That's maybe. Yeah. So Lee, Barzal, your top line, Palmieri, that's 3.
Bo.
Yeah.
Nelson.
Yep.
Pajot could.
Yes.
Wahlstrom could.
Easily.
And Parise could. That's 8.
Just basically everyone. That's a lot of scoring, right? 8 times 20 is a lot. That's 200 goals.
Right. And now I'm not saying that that's all of them.
Goals, 160 goals.
That's fine. God. We're not a math podcast. We've well established that. I'm not saying every single one of those guys is going to hit the 20, but having the potential for that, it's solid. It's deep. That's what the Islanders thrive off of.
Think of the Islanders playoff, their playoff run, and the 12 forwards that went through that playoff run. Think about who they were and the positions that they played. Now think about that roster you just brought up. Is that roster not better?
This one 100% is better.
Right? Like, you're replacing Komarov with Anders Lee. That's a huge win right there. Sorry, Leo, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
Eberle is being replaced by Kyle Palmieri. And you can say maybe that's a wash. Maybe it's a step down.
Slight,
maybe,
marginal.
Worst. But the step up you just gained from Anders Lee over Leo Komarov is monstrous. And then you're, with all due respect to Travis Zajac, you're getting at least a one-for-one, maybe a little bit better out of Zach Parise over Travis Zajac.
And more developed Oliver Wahlstrom, too.
Right? Like, there's a lot to like with that roster. It's not sexy. I know it's not. But there's still a lot to like on that roster.
No, it is. And especially assuming that they land a lefty, because they need, that's what their biggest need is right now in my eyes. Assuming they get a second pair left-handed defenseman, I see no reason why this team can't be competing for a Stanley Cup. But if you look online, some people are like, this is the worst thing to ever happen to this team. They're so down in the dumps, which I think is just absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that seems wild to me. If there's any apprehension today from not having done anything, it's just a FOMO kind of feeling. It's not that, oh, God, I feel like it's doom and gloom. The Islanders have lost everything. No, it's just I want to have nice things, too. I also want to go shopping, right? That's the anxiety or the stress of today. It's not that I'm worried that the Islanders are going to be bad. That's not a thing right now for me.
No, yeah, same here. Honestly, same here. It's not something that, you know, I'm worried about either. It's maybe I'm with you. Maybe it's just a fear of missing out kind of a thing. You see all the other teams having fun. But if on opening night, what I just laid out is their forward group, again, would I love Tarasenko? Of course I would. But that, it's fine. The Islanders could be a really, really good team and back to where they were, if not further, with this roster.
Absolutely. So I'm okay with where things are right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, we'll see if anything continues to happen. I've even while we're on the podcast, I've been continuing to refresh Twitter, just hoping something happens, but I don't think so. Do you want to, before we get into the draft side of things, do you want to just talk about maybe a couple things that maybe surprised us today, Mitch, from around the league?
Absolutely.
So my first one, I am shocked at the contract that Blake Coleman got.
What did he? There's so many things happening. I feel out of the loop. So I'm glad we're doing this. It's helping me kind of catch up with what happened.
Okay. I would like to see your reaction to this, because Calgary gave him 6 years, $29.4 million, which is a $4.9 million cap hit.
Wow. Okay. Jesus.
He's 29. Again, I love Coleman as a third line player. Love him. I don't know if I $4.9 million a year for 6 years love him, though.
He's been in the NHL for what, 4 years. 4 years in the NHL, and he's a 30-point player is what we're looking at, and he's going to get a $5 million payday? Okay, Calgary. All right.
Yeah.
Jesus Murphy, that's a lot of money.
Good on him. But I saw that and thought, my God, that's a lot.
That is a lot of money. I can't believe that. Hopefully that works out for them, but Jesus Murphy, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
I know. I had to like double take that when I saw that name come across my screen and at the price.
That's just way too much. Oh boy. For me, that there's a lot like Carolina. What the hell is going on there?
I do not like their offseason at all.
No, Nedeljkovic gone because we undersold him, and you're like, that's a Calder finalist. Should have maybe even been a Vezina finalist. Gone because you're like, what about $2 million? And he's going, I'm worth way more than that. Mm-hmm. And then you lose Dougie Hamilton, the best offensive defenseman in the game, bar none.
Yep.
And then you bring in Freddie Anderson, who did not have a great end in Toronto.
No.
And then Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah, I'll just say this. I'm glad the Islanders stayed away. Not that they needed a right-handed defenseman, but just I don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, Lou Lamoriello was nowhere near that in any way, shape, or form. But that's just – and you got $1 million too. $1 million. I know we keep talking about like second chances. He's on like his fourth or fifth. It's no longer a second chance city with him.
Yeah, and didn't they bring in oh my God, who else did they bring in?
Yeah, they didn't have a great, I'm trying to bring it up too. Carolina, here we go. Josh Levo, CJ Smith, Ian Cole, Antti Raanta. That's who they brought in as a goalie.
Okay.
Which seems wild. Now they got Antti Raanta and Freddie Anderson as goalies, which are better, more established goalies, but they're not, I don't know. That seems like a weird thing. You lost a starter, a young starter that you could have had between the pipes for years to come because you were cheap.
Yeah, that I don't get that one, dude. I really don't.
So that's the one that kind of weirded me out. And I think also the offer for Dougie Hamilton was weird too. I think they came in at 8 years, $6 million. And it's like, how do you do that? No, you don't do that to Dougie Hamilton after the season he had.
Yeah, I don't get that one either. That's bizarre. That's too low.
So that's the one that really kind of shook me. But outside of that, just a lot of money being spent. Like we talk about the freeze on the cap, but money was shelled out, right? Total contract dollars, according to Cap Friendly, $779 million doled out. Almost $1 billion was handed out today.
I had one more that I wanted to get your reaction to. Did you see what Edmonton did today?
I saw a few things. So they re-signed Tyson Barrie. I saw that. What else did they do?
They signed Cody Ceci to a 4-year deal with a 3-2-5 cap hit.
Why? Why did the worst team defensively just sign the worst defenseman?
Mm-hmm. So now they have CeCe, Duncan Keith above him, with I'm going to assume Tyson Barrie. They're going to struggle defensively. They're going to bleed goals. This is not a step in the right direction for them.
Ooh, Edmonton, what are you? Do they even have a goalie yet? Oh, they do. They got Mike Smith.
He's 100.
With all due respect to Mike Smith, he's 39. Had a great year last year. Great year. We talked about it with Zach Parise. Can he do it again? Hopefully so for Edmonton's sake, but at 39, the chances are growing slimmer.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not looking.
You're right. There's a sieve, and it's the Edmonton blue line.
Not great. So at least the Islanders didn't have a bad day handing out contracts. Can we positive spin zone that?
We can absolutely positive spin zone that. Like, the Islanders didn't do anything dumb.
Yeah, this is good.
Right, they did everything smart. It seems that they've kept Kyle Palmieri. The signs seems like they're bringing in Travis. God, Jesus, Zach Parise, I keep screwing that up. And it seems like they're also going to be keeping Casey Zizekas. There's no noise around Zizekas. I know that Sportsnet tried to, but it didn't really go anywhere. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, I think no news is good news when it comes to Zizekas. We would have heard something. I think if he was going somewhere else, we would have, well, frankly, I think he would have signed by now, honestly.
I think so. I think he got interest, but his to leave would probably have cost $5 million to whatever team wanted to bring him in. And I don't think anyone's willing to pay $5 million for a player who they don't really see as necessarily a good third liner. I think he is. I think he could be worth the $5 million in a more offensive role, but I'm glad no one's taken the bait.
Yes, absolutely. I think he's going to come back as well, probably to some term. I don't think we're going to like the term, but I think we'll have to bite the bullet on that.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to like the term, but when it comes to center, and it's a guy like Casey Zekas, whatever. I'm willing to eat a little bit longer if it needs be.
Absolutely. So with that, do you want to transition and enlighten us on this draft class from the New York Islanders, Mitch?
Yeah, buddy. Let's go by. Let me sort this here. Though I have it in order. So the Islanders made 6 picks at the 2021 NHL entry draft, and I'll list them out one at a time here. In the second round, Atu Ratu. It is pronounced Ratu-ish differently. It's not E. It's not Ratty. It's Ratu. Tristan Lennox in the third round. That's a goalie. Cameron Berg in the fourth round. He's a center. Etu Lucas from, he's a Finnish player. He's a left wing. Aleksi Malinen, also Finnish, left-handed defenseman. And Tomas Machu, a right-handed defenseman out of the Czech Republic.
There you go. So I want to very much so talk about Ratu. And I know you've gotten a chance to speak with him as well. So what did he have to say? What was he like for the listener who maybe hasn't seen that? And how good has he been since being drafted?
He's been very good. Very good. He and his Finnish teammates, as well as Team Sweden and two teams for Team USA, are playing at the 2021 Summer Showcase in Plymouth, Michigan. It's a yearly competition of it's essentially tuned up to the World Juniors. World Juniors are still quite a few months away, but this gives the teams a chance to kind of play against similar opposition and similar caliber to kind of see where they're at. And Ratu is leading the tournament in points. After 4 games, my man is averaging 2 points a game. He's got 5 goals, 3 assists over the 4 games.
I like that. See, I like that a lot.
Absolutely dominant performance. In terms of our chat, the kid seems to know what's going on and what's happening. He knows he fell in the draft. He knows he didn't have a good year last year. But he also knows it's not just like, I'm a bad player, I'm never going to recover from this. Right, this isn't Joe Exotic saying I'm never going to financially recover from this thing. He will recover from this financially as well, I'm sure. He's a good player. He's got top end skill. He could very well be the steal of the draft easily.
See, I like the sound of that a lot, especially considering the Islanders only had 6 picks and they didn't have a first rounder. Being able to, you know, replenish the prospect pool with someone as high caliber as him is huge for them, because he's almost like adding a first round talent, you know, to the mix of this prospect pool. I know technically they didn't take him there. Same thing in my eyes with Bodie Wild in 2018, but like that stuff matters when you don't have they didn't pick until the third round last year. Like if last year's draft class is a wash, and Atu Ratu comes in and turns into something that could help mitigate things down the line when some of these contracts are looking bad or you move away from some of these veteran players and, you know, these younger guys are ready to come in and play.
Yeah, exactly. Just remember, listener, if Ratu turns into anything at the NHL level, it's a win. Even if it's a fourth liner, as long as he makes the NHL, it's a win. Even if he doesn't, this is a good and smart pick from the Islanders. When you go to the draft, you want to pull away with the best available player. When it came to the 52nd pick, the best player available on the board was Atu Ratu. You can make the case that maybe it was Sasha Pastrzyk or Samuel Helenius, as I had made before. It was clearly Ratu, and it's turning out to be the case. Now, I can't wait to speak to the Finnish coach. I'm going to give them their space while they're at the tournament. And I'm going to speak to him once it's done to get his take on this, because he had said something about Samuel Helenius being better or ranking higher than Ratu. He specifically singled out Ratu in terms of just his team. So I want to see if he wants to go back on that now or what he thinks about saying that. So we'll see once the tournament is done. I think it's the 31st of July is the last game. So early August is when I could, is when I plan on speaking to him again to see what he thinks about what happened. But the scenes, it was absolute pandemonium in terms of the camp, the Finnish camp there. When I spoke to him, I was texting him while the draft was happening because his players started going, Ratu, Hellenius, a few other ones. And I was like, what's the scenes there? He's like, the boys are pretty happy. Hopefully they can channel that on the ice, and they pretty much did.
Oh yeah, they had a great day on that one for sure. And I don't know, I'm really excited about this kid. And you know, Lou swung for the fence here, which I think is important to do, especially when you don't have a lot of draft picks. Like, sure, there's a chance this doesn't work out, but as someone who at one point was looked at as maybe a first overall pick. Like, that's a huge home run swing from Lou, and maybe it works, but I think in a draft class, especially where you don't have a ton of picks, you have to swing for the fence. So I love that Lou did that.
And by swing for the fence, it's not even like he reached, right?
No.
And that was the one thing in other drafts where he's like, I'm going to take Simon Holmstrom 24th, 23rd. I keep forgetting which one exactly it was. Doesn't matter within those two. And that was a reach. Probably should have been a second round pick. Alexander Ljungcrantz last year probably shouldn't have been a third round pick, probably a sixth round pick, but they reached. Maybe it turns out, maybe it doesn't. That's not what happened here. He's like, well, I'm at 52, and this Ratu kid is supposed to be first overall still on the freaking board. I guess I'll go and take him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He kind of fell in their lap, which you love. But, I mean, you look at 2018, that happened three times in a row, just about. Oliver Wahlstrom probably wasn't supposed to be there. Noah Dobson probably wasn't supposed to be there. And then Bodie Wild at 41, that also seemed insane.
You're right. Yeah, a lot of things have come into play here for them or fell into their lap. So good job by them. But I really like their draft class because that not reaching was everywhere. And the one I want to bring out here is Aleksei Malinin. That's the sixth round pick. This is a guy that should have gone in the third round, and he's there in the sixth round, and Lou's like, okay, I guess I'll go and take this Finnish puck-moving defenseman. Thank you very much. Here's my Robin Salo 2.0. Just absolutely great move by him. All the other picks, there's nothing wrong with any of the other picks, but they were aptly, they're picked where they probably should have gone. Malinin should have been a third-round pick. The fact that he was still available in the sixth is madness.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that the other day on the patron show. Do you think if there's a diamond in the rough in the later rounds, is Malinin the one?
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. He's a little bit of room to grow at 6'176", but there's a lot to like with his game.
Yeah, he's an explosive skater, moves the puck, very creative, but with that comes a lot of dangerous opportunities, right? And when I say by that, that goes both ways, right? He creates them, but also against himself type of thing. He'll learn that. He needs to put on muscle. 176 is light for the NHL. He's going to, but he's only like 18, 19 years old, so he'll add that surely. But outside of that, skating, explosive, creative, offensive-minded. I imagine it's even like Robin Salo. This kid probably started out as a forward and made the move to defense.
You think so? That's interesting.
Right. I know that's what Salo did. Salo didn't move to defense till he was 13, I think he told me. Idolized, maybe not idolized is a strong word, but really watched a lot of Sidney Crosby growing up is what he did.
Makes sense. Well, I feel like most of us did.
Yeah. The one last thing I want to get to from this draft is we heard rumors of the Islanders giving out math tests. And so I was like, all right, I asked specifically Etu Liukas. I asked him, like, did you get that test? Was it that hard? And he was like, yeah, it was like 200.
200 questions.
It was multiple choice, A, B, or C. And he was like, yeah, it was fine. It didn't seem... It was funny. He had a smile on his face because clearly not everyone does that. But clearly, teacher Lou Lamorello never done teaching.
200 multiple choice questions? Christ.
We would not have been drafted by the Islanders, buddy.
No shot. Absolutely no chance.
I wanted to ask him what kind of questions, but he was already on the, along in the interview and he had places to go. They had a game later that day. Oh no, it was on Monday, but either way, he had things to do. I don't want to get like, well, was it like trigonometry? Was it the, what was the, anyways, I don't want to get into what kind of math necessarily, but it really, it stuck in my brain. So when I get to interviewing some of these other players, I'm going to get to what kind of questions were on this test. Please tell me.
Yeah, we have to know. Is it like, are we talking PEMDAS stuff? Are we talking Pythagorean theorem? I need to know.
Yeah, exactly. But with that, like, I much more appreciate a math test. As much as my teacher, my wife teacher will tell me, like, testing isn't really the best thing in the world and doesn't really tell you anything. But I much more appreciate a math test as a kind of pre-draft interview thing than tell me what animal you are, which is an actual question asked of prospects in pre-draft interviews by NHL teams. Tell me what kind of animal you are. What kind of garbage nonsense is that? Because the thing is with that is that there's a clear answer that you're looking to get out of them, but you're just not telling them. What are you really gaining there?
Yeah, I don't know. That's true. That's a good point.
With a math test, the idea is that you're trying to see if they're smart, I guess. And maybe smart isn't the right word to use, but if they're book smart, let's say. And maybe that tells you that they're not necessarily just singularly focused on that, but they're capable of grasping more difficult concepts, perhaps.
I guess. Regardless, me and you sat down for that test, it would not end well. Like, okay, these guys are a one-trick pony. They could talk into a microphone, type some words on the internet, and that's about it.
Yeah, I'd have to look at my econ math books, but maybe I could do okay, but C's get degrees, buddy.
Absolutely. Amen to that. So with that, do you want to transition and get into some of the quiz stuff, Mitch?
Let's do it. So as you all know, every week we do a mystery New York Islander. Matt has 5 clues to guess who they are. They get progressively easier as we go. And the mystery Islander has nothing to do with the show number as it used to be. So Matt, are you ready?
Let's do it.
First question. I was a 6th round pick by the Rangers.
6th round pick by the Rangers. Okay, next.
I had 417 points in 836 NHL games.
You played a lot. Okay, next.
I have the Predators' record for single game assists with 5.
Who's a Ranger, an Islander, and a Predator.
If it helps, okay. He's a defenseman. I don't know why I had to stumble on that. I knew he was a defenseman, but the words wouldn't come out.
Okay, I'm stumped so far.
4. I signed a 1-year deal with the Islanders in 2015. September 2015, that is.
Is it Licky?
Yes, good job.
Let's go.
And then my 5th one was, you could say I put a zid on my career with the Isles. I think it was a play on words for lid.
There you go. Zid. I love it. Yeah, I like that move. I thought he was fine that year.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. 16 points that year. And he was pretty old. And by old, obviously, about as old as I was or am. So, yeah, 16 points, 53 games. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah, he was pretty good on that team, for sure. That was right after they lost Vyshnovsky, so that's kind of the replacement.
Exactly.
All right, let's get to the social segment, what's going around on Isles Twitter. Mitch, what do you got for us?
First one here comes from Stace. Stacey Morand, I think. Stacey A. Morand, whatever. At is the Twitter handle. And she says, not to be dramatic, but if the Isles don't re-sign Cizikas, I will walk across the LIE with a blindfold on.
I feel that. I would be right there with her because that would be frustrating after all this, right?
It really would. I don't see it happening. The only reason that he would leave is if he's chasing paper, and I can't imagine Casey is chasing paper. Or I guess the Islanders say, like, here's $1 million, take it or leave it. And I also don't see him doing that.
No. Yeah. So really not a surprise at all.
Yeah, you don't go and protect Cal Clutterbuck and Matt Martin in the expansion draft and say, hey, Casey, would you mind taking like $1 million? Thanks. No.
Yeah, that's true. My first one comes from James Myrtle, and he says, Leafs will sign Josh Hosang to a PTO for training camp. How about that? Josh Hosang will get another shot at an NHL roster.
Yeah, good job by him. I don't think he's making that team. I can't see it happening. It's not that I don't think he's got the talent. It's just he's got a lot of players to beat out for a role. He needs to go to a team where he can definitely make the roster and know he's in the NHL and then excel. I don't think he's going to make that roster. He's probably going to end up playing on the Marlies, which is fine.
Yeah.
And then maybe work his way from there. But at least he's staying in North America, and I'm sure that's exactly what he's aiming for right now.
Of course. Absolutely.
Although I did email Linkoping's GM. He has not emailed me back, probably because he's going, "Did you not see the news, dum-dum?" And I hadn't, because at the time that I wrote the email, the news did not break.
There you go. That's fair.
My second one here comes from Sam Carcitti, and he's a beat writer for the Philadelphia Flyers. And now it's not the exact tweet here, but he says, Parise back with Lou with New York Islanders. My head will always think of Lou with New Jersey. Because previously in the day, Sam tweeted out that he thought, or he had heard, that Zach Parise was going to the Devils. And everyone on Isles Twitter is like, what the hell is going on here? Why the Devils? And then he walked it back, went like, whoops, sorry, brain fart.
It happens. But I saw that and was very confused. Now, with all due respect to him, I did not buy it for a second, but I did have the moment of, what?
Yeah, very much going, what the hell? And you're looking, it's a blue check mark. Yeah, that's Sam. It really worked. What the hell is going on here? And then, sure enough, like I think it was an hour later, going like, "Whoops, sorry, everyone, my bad."
He threw a grenade and left for an hour, and then came back.
Yeah.
My last one comes from James Nichols, and it's a quote tweet from Cap Friendly of all the signings by teams, and he says, "Isles and Blues only teams not to make a move," with the thinking emoji.
Yeah. No. Fair enough. Right. Although, I don't know what that means necessarily. It the implication is that like they haven't done anything because they're trying to work out a deal. Well, you can do two things at once, right? You could try to work out a deal in free agency and still, you know, wait to do a trade. I don't think their lack of free agent activity means that they're going to be then doing trades, because if so, that's pretty bad form from the GMs to be like, we haven't signed any free agents, or we're not going to sign anyone until we make that trade. And then you have all these big names gone off the board. And you're like, we are sticking to our guns here. That seems irresponsible.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think so too.
So, but it could mean that they're still in the works for something. But I don't know. Maybe it's more of a coinkydink than anything else.
Yeah, could be. Anything else, Mitch?
My last one. This kind of fits into your Venn diagram of sports fandom, where you're Islander and Jets fan.
Oh.
And this comes from Greg Van Rotten, I guess. I don't know who he is, but
yeah.
Place says that the Jets should follow the Islanders model. One of my favorite things about the Islanders is they play within the system. If you're not from this market, very few people know a lot of the names. I think it just shows if you have a really good coach, a really good system, and guys that work hard, then you can go far. Wow.
Yes, Greg Van Rotten is a Rockville Center kid.
Right. Yes, I saw that, and I was like, I know where that is.
Yes. Yes. Not too far from Nassau Coliseum in the island. So, yeah, I love that. And he also said that he loves the way he was talking about Matt Martin and how he loved how Marty plays and stuff like that. I love it. I would love for them to actually buy in, but they need a proven head coach first, which the Jets have a rookie head coach, so maybe he turns out to be like a Barry Trotz, but I would absolutely love it if all the New York teams, at least the ones that I like, replicate the Islanders.
Do they also need a quarterback? Don't they need one of those two?
Well, the quarterback hasn't signed yet. We could very much go on a tangent here and talk about offsets in NFL contracts, but I think that'd get a little boring on this show.
No, that's fine. We don't need to do that. I was just trying to fan the flames here.
I love it. So before we go, let's get some plugs in here. So wherever you're listening to the show, please make sure to subscribe. Give a rating and review. That really helps us out a lot. We appreciate the love and support. You could also follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY, and Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/eyesonisles. You could download the fan-sided app and get us there, or on the website, eyesonisles.com. And last but not least, check out that Patreon, patreon.com/eyesonisles. $5 a month, you get a ton of content. We're going to record a mailbag show right after this. You get post-game reactions after every single game, regular season and playoffs. During the off-season, you get deep dives on topics. You get a Discord group chat of great Islander fans and a whole lot of other good stuff over there.
Head over to Patreon, patreon.com/eyesonisles. Do it today.
There you go. That'll do it for episode 206. Once again, I am Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.